listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Asian House Lady.
You are compelled to listen.
Oh no, don't start with that. See, you think it's the devil's tongue and you think it's a joke, but
you
it's
are
real.
Compelled.
You will listen.
Yes, will you just cut it out and talk normal?
You will listen to
me. Then you know what I'm talking
about. Every chance you get,
you
every minute. You will keep your radio, you will turn the volume up even
you
higher.
It's a big joke, but you're tearing down the foundations of our nation.
The entire foundation around
very
our
funny.
Ears.
Prepare yourself! Prepare yourself!
You are listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Asia. House Lady.
Well, now you can forget about going to the amusement park.
Keep it real. Take the Red Pill.
We are back. Yes. We are back from commercial break. This is our two-hour block. And we are going through the executive order here. Supposedly, to reform police.
Well, I just love it. An executive order is like a magic wand. You just wave it, and then suddenly everything is okay. How wonderful.
Well, people can be held accountable to them if it is written correctly.
Problem
is, I don't think they're written correctly. It was written in such a vague language that my point is to prove that this is going to empower the New World Order police state. So we'll see.
Let's just hope there's not too many dead bodies piled up behind this executive order to show that it worked or did not work. Let's just hope it doesn't just intensify things. Well, maybe it's a good thing if it does get intensified, because I liked it when the people were out there protesting, demanding their rights, getting up in the police officers' faces, and
Yes. Police
officers running out the back door of the police stations.
Well, you got to look at it like this. I don't care about the number of bodies here. I mean, 89 police officers died last year. Okay, listen. How many people tripped and fell and died last year? I'm pretty sure the number's higher than that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so this is any job at this point is hazardous. I mean, fishermen on the boats out there die a year. You know, to say that they risk their lives, it's a job like any other. You can make it as safe as you want to make it, or you can be reckless and die.
Yes.
So, if there are a lot of police bodies that come out of this, well, it's probably because they're doing something wrong. Let's just go ahead. I'm so fired up. Okay, let's get into this next paragraph here.
What section are you in? Section
two. Starting up section two. Okay. Certification and credentializing. Okay. Let me see my screen here. State and local law enforcement agencies must constantly assess and improve their practices and policies to ensure transparent, safe, and accountable delivery of law enforcement services to their communities. Hey, what did I just say? independent credentializing bodies can accelerate these assessments, enhance citizens' confidence in law enforcement practices, and allow for the identification and correction of internal deficiencies before those deficiencies result in injury to the public or to law enforcement officers. So don't escalate the situations. It's basically what I just said just now that is addressed by section 2 here, first paragraph. They need to be safe about what they're doing, identify the issues, and nobody will get hurt. You know what they say? Nobody move. Nobody gets hurt.
Well, from that rap song.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that believe that the police departments are the biggest gangs out there. They, you know, they're organized. They all wear the same colors. They, yes. You know, they have certain rules that they go by. It's like a big gang, but they're well armed. They're organized, and sad to say, they seem to be the threat, the main threat to the average Joe citizen. That but who else do we have to call if we're in an emergency situation of being robbed or someone's trying to kick in your door? Or all we have is this 911, and hopefully a police officer will come to the rescue. But you never know if they're going to come and escalate the situation. And I've seen instances with the riots, the protests that were going on, and people were looting the stores. The shop owners are trying to defend their, you know, their establishments from the looters. And when the police roll up on the scene, they're throwing the owners of the establishment up against the wall, handcuffing them because they happen to be people of color. And they don't know the crooks from the citizens. So, you know, they just come in and, oh, that person has a tan. All right, we need to cop them. And, you know, but it's...
Right. What a scary happens all show. The time.
Yes,
that's why black people don't call the police. No. Not unless it's a life or death situation. We don't call the police.
No, we don't.
We try to handle our own situations.
Thanks.
But seriously, though, who should we be calling? Only certain people can become police officers. They do psychological profile, which these people tend to be either psychopaths, sociopaths, or borderline personality, mid to lower IQs. Okay. So basically, robots that can understand orders and don't process their own thoughts of sympathy. Because you can't farm money. You can't rob people at gunpoint if you have a conscience.
True.
Okay, so what we need is a civilian militia. When I tell people anybody can join a civilian militia, all you got to do is know your rights, your civil rights, your constitutional rights. Fill out the paperwork, join. It's just like joining the military. Just join in and be there. Do your drills, practice your runs, stay in shape. And guess what? You just joined a new family. These are your neighbors, your friends.
Yes.
Okay? Everybody knows each other. We have a community.
Police
itself.
Police is itself, yes. They're well-armed. Populace is a very polite populace. But prior to me becoming a corrections officer in New York City, I applied for the New York City Police Department, New York State Police Department, State Police, and I went for a six-hour exam, psychological exam, where they ask you a list of questions. It's like 6 hours long. It's thousands of questions. They're single-answer questions. Have you ever heard voices? Do you think that you're better than the other person? Do you think this and you think that? But at the end of that six-hour exam, you have to sit before this is for the New York State Police, State Police Department. You have to sit before a psychologist who is a colonel in the State Police, and he asks you one simple question. If you have to pull out your weapon and you know, shoot someone to death, do you think that you would have a problem with that? And if you say yes, you're automatically disqualified. You're not going to be a state police officer. But if you say, no, I won't have a problem with that, then you're in. And even as a trained corrections officer in New York City, we went to a corrections officer academy where they trained us that, you know, there's a code that they use. It's called Mrs. Robinson. Every letter stands for a felony. Like M is for murder, R is for rape, S is for sodomy, R is for robbery. Each letter signifies a crime that because corrections officers are not police officers. Police officers are obligated to enforce the law. Even if they're off duty, if they see a crime that's occurring in front of them, they must intervene. But a peace officer is not obligated to involve themselves in a situation like that. But the Mrs. Robinson thing that they have, that the police departments teach their officers in the academy there, is that you can shoot a fleeing felon. And if they violate any one of those letters that spell out Mrs. Robinson, you can shoot a fleeing felon in the back, running away, if they were guilty of any of these Mrs. Robinson, which each letter stands for a specific felony crime. But they also taught us that when you pull out your weapon, you use it. And when you use it, you shoot to kill. And the reason for that was they said that you do not want that individual to come back to court and testify against you. Now, are you kidding me? Really? That is a justification for taking someone's life, that you don't want them to testify that maybe you did something wrong? And I'm sure.
Dead men tell no tales. It is a policy that needs to cease.
That's sad. How do we
as polite police?
We're in a police state right now. Sad state of affairs. But like I stated previously, who else do you call? Maybe Ghostbusters? I mean, who do you call? We have no one to call unless you call on God himself. And I doubt very seriously he's going to come down and intervene in every single situation. He might send an angel, but I don't know.
I'm telling you guys the answer. People just need to – I say it every episode. People say, what about the solutions? I'm telling you the solutions. You just don't want to hear it. You don't want to adhere to it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Constitutionally, you have the right to ask the government. Ask the government. It's supposed to be the people, right? We the people government. See, the problem is, and another reason why I'm reading this executive order to you guys is because, again, the population feels at ease now that there was a executive order written.
Is that like a compromise?
It shows that the government's trying to do something, but these people have not read it. They assumed, okay, everything's going to be reformed now, and it's going to be for the good. That's how they sneak stuff in, okay? And so, but people aren't politically involved anymore. This isn't like the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, where people didn't have iPhones, didn't have the internet, didn't have televisions, okay? People were involved politically in their local government. Everyone.
What era are you speaking of?
I got to point this out. It's got to be pointed out. It's a selection election year, folks. This is all damage control because things have gone way too far. And if Trump isn't seen as doing some kind of action, you know, after the entire economy has been tanked in the United States over a scandemic. Which, well, everybody would say, well, Trump's a good guy, you know, all these two people. But he's standing next to Fauci, you know, who he allowed to be there. It's such a smoke and mirrors, and he keeps using independent this, independent that, independent people, independent credentialing. You know what?
Let me finish
like
my point.
V says, we have our own independence, and we a militia, like V is suggesting, is a constitutional right to have if you're not in a constitutional free zone.
Well, okay, but you let me finish my point. Let me finish my point here. Okay, so as people were involved in politics in the past, you know, things were more or less in control by the people, okay? People knew what laws were what was coming about, regulations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? It was hard it wasn't even really necessary to have so many police back in those days because everybody knew. Everybody showed up to town hall meetings. It was a community thing. Everybody did it. But now that we have our 9-to-5 wage slave jobs, our TVs, and, you know, we are so politically removed from everything. So these people, the so-called elected officials, get to do everything they want to do. And for those, because they know no one wants to be politically active these days. No one wants to be political, period, these days. Yeah. They that's why we have politicians, so they can handle it. No. We have politicians supposedly so they can represent what we want. As a nation, the American people, as a nation, you are politically dead. You can complain about our politicians and they're corrupt. Well, the rot came from you. You're not politically charged. You're not involved. You don't go to town hall meetings.
The average citizen doesn't realize that most of our elected officials are millionaires. They have very little in common with the common man who is struggling or working two jobs and, you know, just trying to decide whether they want to pay for their medication for the month or keep their lights on. These millionaires, they have nothing in common with the common man. So these guys, they are profit motivated, most politicians are, and they totally disregard their oaths to the Constitution. I read something today, as a matter of fact, that said that if a politician or any sworn official who swears an oath violates that oath, they're supposed to be immediately removed from office. So, I mean, right. From the president
calm down,
remove them all.
It never happens, does it?
No,
the politicians get in the office promising us stuff, and then they never do what they promise. But let's get back to the executive order here.
Yes, sir.
So, Section 2B. The Attorney General shall, as appropriate and consistent with applicable law, allocate Department of Justice discretionary grant funding only to those state and local law enforcement agencies that have sought or are in the process of seeking appropriate credentials from a reputable, independent, credentializing body certified by the Attorney General. Okay, so that means, do you know what that means? More funding for the police departments. That's all that translates out to. We're trying to defund these people. We're trying to the argument right now is to defund these people. That all that says is that we're going to fund our police more. Now, some of you might think, oh, well, extra classes to make sure they know how to do whatever. And listen, it's more money being poured into the problem.
Yeah, in the language where they say, or are in the process of seeking
the process.
Credentials. You know,
correct.
That's like sending your kid to your room, and they still get the candy bar from you because they're trying to be good.
Right. Right.
But I don't quite understand why the American ideology is to throw money at a problem. Yeah, just throw some money at it. That'll make it just better.
No. Melvin, it's to further enslave the people. That money is going to come out of our tax dollars. And to be sure, That's a way of punishing us for resisting. They are going to draw money out of us to pay to the police. We're paying restitution for them having to deal with this situation, basically. No. What this should say is that we're going to take money from departments that do not meet these requirements. Listen, do you know how many man hours it would take just to say, okay, hey guys, I mean, the police captain, but hey guys, sit them all in the room, in the office, don't do this, don't do this, and don't do this. Can you do that? You got it? And if you do these things, guess what? Money gets taken from us. That should be the solution.
No donuts for you.
Yeah.
A 30-minute class or an hour of instruction is not going to change something that is embedded in someone's psychological.
I agree, but the money part will. The department should be charged for every bit of things that they do. Okay, not charged like money being grossed out of them, but money denied to the department they would normally get. That should clean up some of the behavior.
Instead of defunding the police, or actually refunding the police with more money. Throw more money at the problem. That'll keep the fire burning water.
So that's what that part says. Section 2C. The Attorney General shall certify independent credentializing bodies that meet standards to be set by the Attorney General. Reputable, independent. And I don't know who these independent people are. All I know is that police departments are trained by military, DOD, off-duty colonels come in and say, this is how you kill. And I've actually watched some of the stuff. Even this Trey Oliver guy on HBO covered this issue. The police brutality and military colonels coming in training the police. That's where some of the stuff is coming from. So I don't know who these reputable, independent, credentializing bodies are. But anyways.
Those are individuals.
How do you get to be reputable if it's a new program? Now, where is this reputation coming from?
These organizations are trying to be certified as being legitimate police organizations.
They're probably
department.
Gonna bring in UN soldiers, police. Who knows? But people, keep your eye on that. People, keep your eye on the situation.
The Attorney General of the United States is the top law enforcement officer in the country. He's supposed to oversee all law enforcement activity throughout the country, the Attorney General of the United States. So in order for a police department to be authorized as being legitimate and their credentials to be up to par, in order for them to qualify for federal funding, they have to be certified by the Attorney General as being legitimate, legitimate law enforcement agency. So,
I hope, that could bring something about, but when the certified departments start doing things, Attorney General heads should be rolling. I'll say that much. Anyways, let's continue on here.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The eligible for certification by the Attorney General should address certain topics in their reviews, such as policies and training regarding the use of force and de-escalation techniques. Performance management tools such as early warning systems that help to identify officers who may require intervention, and best practice regarding community engagement. The Attorney General standards for certification shall require independent credentialized bodies to, at a minimum, confront that. One, the state or local law enforcement agency use of force policies adhere to all applicable federal, state, and local laws, and two, the state or local law enforcement agencies' use of force policies prohibit the use of chokeholds, a physical maneuver that restricts an individual's ability to breathe for the purposes of incapacitation, except in those situations where the use of deadly force is allowed by law. So you still choke somebody to death if you feel threatened. Okay.
Yeah, they threw a gray area in there to say.
Yeah, I felt threatened, so I sat on his neck. All right, Attorney General shall engage with existing. This is Section D. Okay, the Attorney General shall engage with existing and prospective independent credentializing bodies to encourage them to offer a cost-effective targeting. Or targeted credential process regarding appropriate use of force policies that law enforcement agencies of all sizes in urban and rural jurisdictions may access. Okay, listen, these people who are supposed to certify them with their credentials, if it's not people from the African American communities, it doesn't mean anything.
Well,
I'll tell you that now. It doesn't mean anything.
It sounds to me, because I haven't actually seen this executive order, and from my take on what... Yeah, I know. You're reading it to me now. And it seems like they're trying to find a way to legitimize agencies that want to qualify as being legitimate law enforcement agencies under the guidelines of the presidential executive order and the guidelines set forth by the Attorney General of the United States in order for them to be authorized as being legitimate law enforcement agencies. They're trying to set a standard that's supposed to be followed consistently throughout the country. But it's just, I say this, let's just police the, let's just authorize, let's make these militias, you know, certified law enforcement agencies that can police their communities. I was reading a very interesting article the other day where they were militia individuals in front. I was trying to pull it up during the break that they were heavily armed. I'm not sure if they were, you know, BLM members or, but they were African Americans that were in full military garb with automatic weapons, and they were patrolling in front of a home, protecting the home. And when the citizens that saw these armed individuals just, you know, they had their weapons pointed towards the ground and they were pacing in front of the home, they called the local police department to respond. The police officers stayed about a block and a half away. They did not want to engage these individuals because...
That's fine.
No, yeah. These individuals were like they meant business and they were not playing. And there was only two individuals that I could see from the video. But it seems like it's been taken down. But the police officers did not engage. They did not engage.
Well, it's taken down because that was something effective that the people had control of.
Yes.
And the government could do nothing about. They don't want that scene.
No. They don't want to be people out there.
So you're backing up my point here. All right? Thank you. Let's go to Section 3 here. Or do we have time? Okay. Section 3, information sharing. The Attorney General shall create a database to coordinate the sharing of information between and among federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial law enforcement agencies concerning the instances of excessive use of force related to law enforcement matters, accounting for equitable privacy and due process rights. Okay. Wow. Guys. So that, they're going to create. Yeah. And listen, these people already have this ability. When a cop does something bad, he's switched over to another department in another city. Yeah. Equitable privacy and due process rights. Yeah. Let's go to commercial. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show, Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
I want to get as much of this done as humanly possible. Yes, it's the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, B. We are reading the executive order that Trump signed. So we're going to go into the next paragraph here. We are Section 3B. Okay. The database described in subsection A of this section shall include a mechanism to track as permissible terminations or decertifications of law enforcement officers, criminal convictions of law enforcement officers for on-duty conduct, and civil judgments against law enforcement officers for improper use of force. The database described in subsection A of this section shall account for instances where a law enforcement officer resigns or retires while under active investigations related to the use of force. The Attorney General shall take appropriate steps to ensure that the information in the database consists only of instances in which law enforcement officers were afforded a fair process. Okay, listen. First off, yes, a lot of police officers get off from their crimes just by quitting or retiring. You know, some of these police officers, you know, have raped, have assaulted, and in some instances even murdered. And it's a situation of, okay, you need to resign to make this go away. Boop, we never hear about them again. So I think that, I mean, they already, again, contract. They already do this stuff. But my concern here is the decertification of law enforcement officers. So does that, if you're going to have a standard, then that is the new standard. There shouldn't be anything operating that is not that standard. What, are there going to be police officers strolling about that are not certified? What happens if they come mess with me? Does that make them sort of criminal, sort of police officers? Can they beat the crap out of me and not be held accountable? What does that mean, non-certified?
Can they recertify again somewhere else afterwards? And I got to point this out. Very often after a death of a citizen happens, we hear that an officer has had a history of this certain type of behavior. Yeah. So
the officer that did the George thing had history. Did you see the Asian guy? He had four investigations of brutality. Four. And so,
was the brother-in-law of the police officer that killed Mr. Floyd? Wasn't he his brother-in-law?
I'm not sure about that.
That's another part of the rabbit hole. Didn't they work together for 17 years, George and the officer Need?
But not to get too much into the subject here.
The co-officer was the brother of the police officer's wife. The one that had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck. His brother was the one that responded. His brother-in-law was there with him at the scene of the crime.
Guys,
this fair process, isn't that assured by the police themselves through their unions? So you have union deals that assure this fair process for them. How do we get access to see what these union deals are
for
their fair process?
That great point right there. Okay, but again, we have... So if I'm addressed by a non-certified officer, no, get away from me. You're not certified. I'm not dealing with you. Do we have that as a right as citizens? You're not certified.
Really?
Get away from me.
Show me your credential.
I want to see your ID. I want to see your record. Have you been on an investigation for misconduct? Let me see your record. That's what I want. Okay, let's move on here.
I don't think we're going to get this all in today.
We might have to do another show.
I want to make one point that when they list the agencies that are basically underneath this umbrella of this executive order, they keep mentioning the tribal police. Now, isn't that a complete and separate entity? They have sovereignty over
that
their territories and reservations. So why do they keep including tribal police?
Listen, that would be a good point, because they're trying to overstretch their power over to everyone. Yes, the tribal people can tell them to F off.
Yes, they can.
Yes, they can. I want to point out the last part of this. The Attorney General shall take appropriate steps to ensure that the information in the database consists only of instances where law enforcement officers were afforded a fair process. So that means if nobody wrote a report on the brutality, it's not going to be counted. It's not going to be looked at.
Can we access this database, though? This supposed database of officers that are committing these unjust acts.
My point, Melvin, did you hear what I said? The point of what I'm saying here is if there's these instances are only recorded for officers who are afforded a fair process, then they're trying to throw words in there like fair. No, you need a process, period. If there was no report taken, if no one filed a report against the police officer, or if a report was filed and it was thrown in the garbage, the database doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, or even if the union representative wasn't with the accused officer while the process was going on, that wouldn't be fair process either.
Well, the police
very big gray area they wrote in there, the loophole.
Yeah.
But the unions have a lot of power, though. The police unions, the Guardian societies throughout the United States, they have much influence over the political process and definitely over the police officers, because they all are dues-paying members of that union. And if the union president, who is also a police officer, advises them to put up the blue wall of silence, or to close ranks, or to take some sort of job action, well, we're not going to write any more tickets today, guys. And they will follow the dictates from the union. So the union, police unions have much more authority than these civilian review boards. They have more power than, in a lot of instances, the chief of police. They have to defer to the union representatives because the police are unionized and they're all dues paying members. And they're going to be in lockstep with whatever dictate that the union president for that police union puts forth. So, scary scenario.
Okay, Section C. The Attorney General shall regularly and periodically make available to the public aggregated and anonymized data for the database described in subsection A.
Anonymized.
As consistent with applicable law. Now, what the people have been putting up with and should not put up with is the fact that these cops want to have privacy and, oh, not be recorded. And you know, listen, when you become a public servant from police officer to the president, I should know what you do at all times. Okay? I should know where you... I should know what time you wake up and take a crap in the morning.
Yeah, there should be transparency to their duties.
Anonymized data. Listen, anonymized data. Well, what would the NSA say about this? Only criminals want privacy.
Yeah, criminals want to be anonymous. No doubt about that.
Will the reports be read like an Anon thing? They are unionized. They
according
do not forgive.
According to the NSA, we you don't need privacy. But they get to have their privacy. Well, not since I'm involved in the game, but you know what I mean. Anyways, Section D. The Attorney General shall, as appropriate and consistent with applicable law, allocate Department of Justice discretionary grant funding only to those law enforcement agencies that submit the information described in Section B of the section. So it's a matter of filling out paperwork, not actually adherence to any change. This is a way to give them more money. This is going to fuel the police state.
You know, it's shameful. Again, money comes as the root of the problem. Money is supposedly the solution, and it's just when you're trying to incentivize these things, like you were saying with tickets, and police officers have a certain quota that they have to bring in a certain amount of revenue, and then you go before the judge and you can be charged with the most heinous of crime against a child or whatever, and if you have enough money, you can bail yourself right out of there, $1 million bail, and walk right out of the the courtroom there. But it's just
the system's all about money.
Dollar amount, yes, yeah, about the money, and that sucks.
It's not about justice. It's not about anything like that. But okay, section four. All right, mental health, homelessness, and addiction. Section A. Since the mid-20th century, America has witnessed a reduction in targeted mental health treatment. Ineffective policies have left more individuals with mental health issues needs on our nation's street, which has expanded the responsibilities of law enforcement officers. As a society, we must take steps to safely and humanely care for those who suffer from mental illness and substance abuse in a manner that addresses such individuals' needs and the needs of their communities. It is the policy of the United States to promote the use of appropriate social services as the primary response to individuals who suffer from impaired mental health, homelessness, and addiction, recognizing that because the law enforcement officers often encounter such individuals suffering from these conditions in the course of their duties, all officers should be properly trained for such encounters. Now, people, this is probably the most important part of this thing. Me being a targeted individual, for you targeted individuals listening right now, I don't even have to explain this to you. But for those who don't know what targeted individuals are, targeted individuals are the people who are hacked nonstop, people who are stalked by InfraGuard, people who have the NSA beaming voices into their heads. Okay? These are targeted individuals.
Individuals that have been singled out
by the covert federal government. Now, this is a setup right here.
Yeah, it is.
Okay? Because targeted individuals already deal with the system and are often thrown into mental wards. Okay? I did my underground investigation of it myself. Okay? Listen. Hold on. For these people, this further takes away hope away from targeted individuals. Because if you come up to a cop explaining any kind of conspiracy, you are mental health. You need to be carted away in the white van.
Yes.
If you say anything unbelievable, or if you as a citizen are exposing a crime that needs to be covered up, you get carted away to the mental institution.
Yes.
Okay? Hold on, let me finish. If you as a person want to... if you say you're going to sue somebody, and I've heard this a lot, people getting medical attention and their doctors doing malpractice, and they tell the doctor that, I'm going to sue you. Medical malpractice, I'm going to sue you. Those doctors go and call the police. They make a report saying you're crazy and have you carted off to the mental ward upstairs, not to be seen for a few weeks.
Or a few years. Yes, a lot of municipalities have defunded the mental health organizations in each state. And a lot of the mental hospitals have absolutely just closed down for lack of funding. So these individuals are released out into the community. And, the police, they know when they come up on someone that's a little off. Yeah, but these individuals are being warehoused in our prisons, as opposed to a mental institution where they could receive treatment and possibly medication to address their condition, but they're being locked away.
Okay, Melvin. All right, let me finish here. So, yeah. Yes, you have. This is how the Nazis actually started off here. They did have their Gestapos singling out people who were different and especially people who are knowledgeable. Whistleblowers get thrown into mental asylums, okay? And yes, this is where, from Section 4, this is where Big Pharma gets to make $1 trillion more, putting you on mind control drugs.
CPS can get money through this as well. Label you crazy, and they take your youngins away. It's another form of leverage by the state. This is a very gray area here in this language, that legalese that's used here, can well be used against us in ways that the spirit of this executive order does not show us.
But listen, yes, exactly. And this is what will grow the deep state. This is what grows this imperialism, this totalitarianism, because this actually extends police power, because even if you did not commit a crime, there's nothing that you can be arrested for. They'll say, we got a mental case over here, come get him.
Now, do you think was the president just being politically correct when he issued this executive order, or was he actually trying to initiate change to make things better? I mean,
what do you see from what we're reading?
I think he's just trying to be politically correct. I'm sure he didn't come up with the language for this order himself, Mr. Trump. I'm sure a lot of revisions have been made in order to make it sound just right. So
let's get one more paragraph in here before we have to end the show here. Section B, 4B, the Attorney General shall, in consultation with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, as appropriate, identify and develop opportunities to train law enforcement with respect to encounters with individuals suffering from impaired mental health, homelessness, and addiction, to increase the capability of social workers directly with law enforcement agencies, and to provide guidance regarding the development and implementation of correspondent programs, which involve social workers or other mental health professionals working alongside law enforcement officers so that they can arrive and address situations together. The Attorney General and Secretary of Health and Human Services shall prioritize resources as appropriate and consistent with applicable law to support such opportunities. So guess what, guys? If you go out and protest that, they're putting fluoride in the water to make us dumb, not only are there going to be police at your protest, there are going to be mental health so-called social workers there to scoop you up. Oh, you know, chemtrails are being used for mind control. And you guys know what's going to happen here soon.
Absolutely.
This almost seems like anticipation for my plans here, because, like I said, I'm about to have a network that's going to have 50, 60, 7 million viewership. And I'm going to be putting out my documentaries worldwide. It's going to spread to millions. People are going to understand what's going on in the world. And if anybody complains that the status quo, that the government is anything than what they say they are, you're crazy. And you're going to be carted away.
Coming to take you away, huh?
Yeah, scary scenario, bro.
I couldn't resist.
If you are a truther, don't be a truther. Because you're going to get be carted away without the benefit of charges, or to be seen in a courtroom, be heard by jury. You're going to be silenced.
You're going to lose your job.
You're going to lose your children. You're going to lose your house. If you are a truther and you complain, you're going to lose everything.
Even your life.
Done that in some places where if you believe in certain things, they come and take your children, they label you a nutter. And they said the same thing about the people with more gallons. You're crazy. You put these fibers in your body.
Yeah, people with more gallons. Yeah, you're crazy. Well, yeah. I know all about that one. Guys, tomorrow is Friday. I know that that's usually our day off, but do you want to come in and finish this?
We can.
Absolutely.
I'm game.
Okay. So, Mike, no replay tomorrow. We're going to be ready to go live tomorrow because this is so important. This is so important. So we're going
to
do
part two. We don't have to rush through it. There's so much that could be said here that we didn't say, just trying to read it. When the peers can make you disappear, that's a power that should, again, it's judge, jury, executioner, and a social worker with a police officer can do much harm and do much unlawful, unconstitutional, if you will, things.
And they're being hypocritical. If being a police officer is so dangerous, why aren't you going to bring in civilians to have them do their job?
I don't like the idea of social workers accompanying police officers, because that's what they usually do in the Child Protective Services
realm. Right.
Yes, sir. Social workers.
We all see the mess police. That is.
Yes, it is. That's a real crap show. I don't like that at all. Not even a little bit. But these are the cards that were dealt, so we have to play the cards that were dealt. I don't know.
All right. Well, we are coming to the end of the show here. I'll give you guys the last couple minutes to plug or announce an event.
Well, I'm hoping to have Amor Gellin's lady on here next week, and still trying to finalize what date to have her on. So this is going to be a great topic to cover. Melvin, what was you about to say?
Well, I was going to say that I've been speaking to a family rights advocate out of Detroit, Debbie Williams, and she informed me that there's going to be a march in Washington, D.C. It's to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. And they're trying to get individuals to get out there and participate in this march, not only to commemorate Dr. King's historic speech, but also to show our government's lack of response or lack of adherence to the will of people. So they're trying to promote this thing now, and it's not really out there, but just to make everyone aware that there is a march planned on the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's historic march on Washington, D.C., and we're all supposed to reconvene there in Washington to bring awareness to the problems that are facing our nation.
All right.
Big love, people.
Yes, thank you guys. This has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm Host V. Catch us tomorrow night. We'll do part two of this reading the executive order. Yeah, tune in next time. Keep real, take that red pill. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man of third eye is king. So educate yourselves. Good night, everybody.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.